Be lifted high, mighty God. Be lifted high, oh, our God. You are wonderful. Hallelujah. You are majestic. You are our everything. Hallelujah. We lift our voice this morning in praise to you. Hallelujah. We lift our minds. Hallelujah. Before you, mighty God. Rumbandi and Baba Bakusha Karibeke, Renama Ale de Musso Yanama Kiakaro Satananama Kaya. May you forever be praised. May you forever be glorified. May your name, O God, be lifted up. Under Namashea, Babakaya, Rabu Ushakapaya, Reba Babandoreke. There is no one that compares to you, Make. There is no one that compares to who you are. Mandandameleke. There is no one that compares to who you are, mighty God. And Amakea, you are our everything. Amokoshe, out of you, God flows everything. Amande daba andaya. There is nothing that was created, oh God, hallelujah. There was nothing that was created that you did not create. You are the creator. Everything flows out of you. Everything, oh God, everything we are, everything we'll ever be, asalaba onde de damakaya, comes from the foundation of God. And we praise you. We praise you with our whole being on this morning. We praise you with our mind. We praise you, O God. We concentrate on you. We focus on you. Amaleka. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. As I'm praying this morning, I begin to see. As I'm praying right now, I'm seeing, hallelujah. I'm seeing women in particular. Hallelujah. But this does not just pertain to women, but I'm seeing women in particular moving around. I see them moving around. I see them working. I see them moving. I see them walking on streets. I see them in the grocery store. I see them at the park. I see them just moving. Moving around. And women in particular, this is not just for women, but I see women now. And women in particular, we multitask all the time. It's almost as if we can't just do one thing. We must be doing multiple things at a time. And the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me even as I am talking. I hear the Lord speaking to me, Alebekuria Tatandelekia sobre Kapaya, about an exclusivity when it comes to Him. A place where it is just about Him. A time where we set aside for Him, not where we're cooking and listening, not where we are helping children with homework and praying, but a time and a place that is exclusive for Him. What place and what time do you have that is exclusive for God? What time and what place do you have that nothing else impedes upon that time? It is just for Him. It is not time for you to do anything else but Him. What place in your house do you have? I'm not talking about your bed. I'm talking about, do you have a space that you have carved out for Him? We treat God so commonplace. It has become too much now to dress up. We want to be casual about everything in life. oh, it doesn't take all of that. I can just do it this way. I don't need to get up and take my scarf off. I don't need to get up and brush my teeth. I'm just going before. Do you know who you are approaching? Somewhere down the line, someone taught us to be casual with God. I spoke about a little bit on Sunday where we minimize, we make it so common. We talk to God as if he is just our homeboy, but he is not. He is not our homeboy. He is not our homegirl. He is God, and God is not his name. God is his title. And because there are other gods that dwell in this world, we think that we can treat the Most High God like we treat everything else. No. He requires reverence. He requires focus. He requires exclusivity. So as we position our hearts on this morning, as we position our speech on this morning, I want you to posture yourself however the Lord wants you to posture yourself. Be it on your knees, be it on your face, be it standing, be it sitting. But wherever you are right now, make it exclusive. Make it exclusive. Make it exclusive to him. Make it exclusive to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. I want to provide you this morning with a couple of scriptures. And these may be scriptures that you have read before. However, I want us to read them with new eyes on this morning. And before we pray, I want, the Lord has given unto me for us to discuss the river that is within you. I want you to write that down. Do you have a prayer journal? Do you have a journal that you use specifically for prayer? I want you to grab that right now. I want you to grab that and grab your scriptures. If you don't already have your scriptures, I want you to grab your prayer journal, the thing that you write in that's exclusive for God, and I want you to grab your scriptures, and I want to give you some scriptures on this morning that may be commonplace to you, meaning not commonplace as we treat them common, but commonly, but that we have read before. But let's read them with new eyes on this morning. And I'm going to have you read those scriptures out loud. I want you to get it in the King James Version on this morning. Amen. Go ahead and grab your scriptures, and we're going to talk about the river within you. Some people have taught that prayer is mostly just a moment, a quick sentence here or there, a quick request, you know, a quick exit. Scripture does not treat prayer like a moment. Scripture does not treat prayer like a slogan. Scripture treats prayer like a place. Scripture, it treats prayer like a posture. Scripture treats prayer like a long obedience that turns ordinary people into steady ones. Ah, kabakalik. Yes, God. When you read the scriptures, it treats prayer like a place. It treats prayer like a posture. And it treats prayer like a long obedience that turns ordinary people into steadfast. This is how I can look in someone's soul. And when I say I can look, it's not I'm looking upon anyone in judgment, but I, an observation, I can look in someone's soul and I know how much they actually pray. Because prayer stabilizes you. It steadies you. It's a place that you dwell in. It's not a place that you hip and hop out of. No, it's a steady place that you remain. Prayer is not how we as human beings, as Homo sapiens, as mere mortals, it's not a place that we inform God. Prayer is how we align with God. Prayer is also how we enforce heaven's will in the earth with clean hands and with clear authority. So let me give you these scriptures on this morning. Turn your Bibles to Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And I want you to read on this morning. Yes, I know there will be some, there'll be some bouncing around, meaning, you know, some of you will be reading it at different times because of the delay. That's okay. I want you to read it out loud. Unmute your line and read Luke 18 and 1 with me. First, let me make sure you got it. So if you got it, say, I've got my scripture.
I've got my scripture.
I got my scripture.
I got my scripture.
I got my scripture.
I've got my scripture.
All right, let's read. Luke 18 and 1 says what? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Read that out loud. What does it say?
Men ought always to pray and not to faint.
All right. Men ought always, always, highlight that in your scripture. Always. Always. You pray about everything, 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 every thought that comes to your mind, every decision that you have to make. Men ought always to pray, comma, and not faint. What does that mean? What does that mean, and not to faint?
Don't get weary of it. Don't get tired.
That's right. Don't stop. Don't grow weary in praying. Some of us even here, when we're on the line, I can hear it in the realm of the spirit. We're praying about this again. I said this yesterday. I got to say it again. We grow weary in having to repeat ourselves. We grow weary in having to address things over and over again. Men ought always to pray and not fail. When the Lord brings something up in your spirit, he is addressing it for a reason. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, it with moanings and groanings, it begins to pray through us. It begins to pray out what the Father is saying. Highlight always. All right, go to Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You may not be reading the entire thing. Okay? What does it say? Ephesians 6:18 says what?
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Okay, notice it says always, and then it says with all prayer. Now, we just taught maybe a Sunday ago or so about the different types of prayer, did we not? Some of you were on. Some of you were not. Some of you listened back to the replay. If you didn't get an opportunity, go to that particular one and listen, because we talked about the different types of prayer. All prayer is not the same. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's telling us that we not only should we pray always, but with all prayer and supplication. We should supplicate in the Spirit. In the capital S, not lowercase, in the Spirit, meaning in Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without what?
Ceasing.
Without ceasing. What does that mean?
Non-stop.
Don't stop.
Oh, well, Apostle Ava, how am I going to do that? You want me to pray all the time? I have to work. How am I going to pray all the time? That's just too much. I got to sleep. You know that you, when you're sleeping, do you know that you can pray in your sleep? I have literally awakened out of my sleep, and my spirit was praying. Literally, I'm not so, you know what people say, you're so deep. They love to say that. It's not an insult to me. It's actually a compliment. Thank you. I want to be deeper in God. Deep calleth unto deep. Thank you. Pray without. Don't you stop. I pray all the time. That's what your declaration should be. I'm a prayer being. I'm a prayer altar. My heart beats for prayer. My heart beats for the connection with my God. 1 Corinthians 14:15. 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. What does that tell you? There comes a time when you're praying with the Spirit that understanding will come. Your understanding should not always be unfruitful. I will ask people, okay, we just prayed. Okay, what is the Spirit saying? I don't know. How? Don't you know? You know why? Because you were praying just out of a place of I'm praying instead of praying with a focus. You got to engage. Prophet DeMarcus has been going to the gym with the trainer. He texted me one day and said the trainer told him that he needs to engage his mind as he's doing the exercise, because there's a connection between the muscle and the brain. Many of you know I've talked about it. I've been taking Pilates for over a month now, and that's one of the components of Pilates is you must engage your mind. Ooh. Are we engaging our, when we come on 60 for 60, are we really engaging our mind, or we're just listening with our ear to someone else that's praying, but we're not engaging our mind as well and focusing in? Because if you do that and you do that all the time, you will pray with understanding also. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26, the Spirit, capital S, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See that with fresh eyes on this morning. Your tongue holds the key to death and life. 1 John 1:1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. First Corinthians 3:16. Ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit, capital S, of God dwelleth in you. You are a temple, a place, a sanctuary, and you host the Spirit of God. First Samuel 36. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hebrews 12:22. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, and it goes on to say, and to an innumerable company of angels. If you didn't catch all of the scriptures, I want you to go back and listen to it on this morning. Many of us as believers, we want results, but we avoid the room where spiritual weight is forged. We want doors to open in our family life. We want doors to open in our cities and our nations. We want clarity in business. We want healing in bodies. We want protection over our children, right? But then we treat prayer like it's a spare tire. We pull it out after the damage has been done. And what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to know today is that long prayer is not a flex. It is how you unlock the river inside of you. It is how your spirit stops living on just sips and starts living on supply. Some people hear 3 hours and they think, what do I even have to say for 3 hours? And really, when that question comes up, that question in and of itself, it tells the truth. They have not yet discovered that prayer is not about, it's not only about talking. Prayer is also waiting. Prayer is also listening. Prayer is also wrestling. Prayer is worship. Prayer is scripture. Open slowly until it opens you up. If you see time in prayer as punishment, then you will never gain capacity. Prayer builds your capacity. Men ought to always pray, and don't you faint. I want you to notice in that scripture what Jesus connects. Prayer is connected to endurance. It's connected to stamina. A lot of believers are not failing because they don't love God. They're fainting because they are unfed. They're malnourished. Malnourished. They read a scripture or two. They pray a sentence or two. They don't wait in prayer. They don't worship God long. They're malnourished. You're underfed. You're fainting. Long prayer time does something very practical. It stretches your inner capacity. It trains you to stay present with God long enough for you to change. And many people leave prayer right before the shift. They stop at the very surface and they call the ocean shallow. They stop at the surface and then they call the ocean shallow. So I want to give you a working principle on this morning. We're going to pray, but I got to give you this. You cannot carry weight if you cannot stay. I want you to put that on your refrigerator so you see it. I want you to put it somewhere on your mirror, somewhere that you go every day. You and tell yourself, if I want to carry weight in God, I got to stick and stay. Until you can wait in prayer, you cannot carry the weight of glory. Until you can wait, W-A-I-T, let me spell it out, which weight I'm talking about. Until you can wait, W-A-I-T, in prayer, you cannot carry the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of glory. Because that is formation. Staying builds strength in the invisible places that later show up as calm authority in visible places. If you want to carry peace into chaotic situations, you need a prayer life that outlasts your emotions. If you want to speak with spiritual authority, you got to have spiritual endurance. If you want to intercede for big outcomes, then you need big inner space, huh? Your capacity got to grow. So if you're writing, I need you to write, time and prayer builds capacity. That's why Jesus said we should always pray, but we shouldn't faint. The next thing I want you to write is that you are a gatekeeper. Say, I am a gatekeeper.
I am a gatekeeper.
Thank you, Prophet DeMarcus.
I am a gatekeeper.
I am a gatekeeper.
Oh, I need you to say that with some fervor. Come on. I am a gatekeeper.
I am a gatekeeper.
That's right. That's who you are. It is your reality. Do you know that as humans, we are designed as connection points? Sunday, I talked about designated. You have been designated as a connection point. We live on earth, but we are not merely physical, right? You know that. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. We make choices. We speak words, right? We open doors. We also close them. This is why prayer is so important. When you stand to pray, what you are doing in actuality is you are engaging government. You are engaging authority. You are engaging spiritual traffic. People try to change what is physical without first wielding power in the spirit. That's why they get frustrated. That's why they say nothing is changing. But they're trying to move a system with hands that have not learned war. That scripture in Ephesians 6:18 that says pray always in the spirit, that's a war passage. It sits inside a war passage. Let me say it like that. Because prayer is the major mechanism of battle. So we have to stop treating prayer like a last resort. I don't like, I think I was talking to Stacey, I don't like when people say, well, all I can do right now is just pray. Because even in our speech, we treat prayer like there's nothing else to do but just pray. We treat it as a last resort. We got to stop treating prayer like vain repetition when you are actually building spiritual force and spiritual clarity. 60 for 60 has not just been about praying for 1 hour. It's about building our spiritual force and our clarity. You should be clearer today than you were yesterday. We've got to stop measuring prayer and spiritual things by how entertained we feel. Measure it by what is being formed in you. When you come to church, when you go to the place, the sanctuary, the place of your building and your edifying as a spirit being, as a human being, you should be measuring it by what is being formed in you. If nothing is being formed in you, when you leave, you're not growing. Now, that could be one of two reasons. You may not be growing because maybe your growth there is done. But you may not be growing because of you. You got to keep growing. You got to keep being formed. So you got to measure prayer by what is being formed in you and what begins to shift around you. When you start growing, I'm telling you right now, everything around you is going to shift. Your friends are going to shift. Your clients are going to shift. Your loved ones are going to shift. Your money is going to shift. Everything, your geography even may shift because prayer forms you, stretches you, makes you into another man. And when I say man, I'm not talking about gender. I'll finish this at noon because we're already at 5:32. But let me give you this one last thing before I go. Spiritual authority is recognized by weight, not the volume of your voice. It's recognized by weight. Now, you may naturally be a loud person, so you may pray loud. That's okay. I'm not saying if you pray how you authentically pray. I pray forcefully sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm loud. Sometimes I'm not, you know, because you move as a spirit. You know, sometimes you feel the intensity in you, so you follow the intensity. That's not what I'm talking about. Some people think in their minds, I got to pray with great volume in order to seem like I have spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is recognized by your weight in the spirit. Now, hear me before we go. The spirit realm only responds to your reality. A person can be loud, but they're still light. A person can be quiet and they're heavy. Spirit realm responds to reality. What is the weight of your authority in the spirit realm? How aligned are you in God? Because your authority is directly connected to your alignment. It's directly connected to covenant. It's directly connected to knowing who dwells in you. Who? Do you really know who God is? Authority is what that covenant makes possible for you. Your authority is directly connected to your obedience. I'm telling you, it don't have nothing. People say stuff all the time. Oh, I love God. He God, he's this, he's that. He, oh, I put him on my Facebook post. Oh, I send scriptures out every day. Oh, I send a gif. Oh, it seems like you're so godly, but you're so disobedient. Your authority is directly connected to your obedience. First Corinthians 3:16 says the Spirit of God dwells in you. Capital S. That should change the way you pray. You are engaging the God who is with you, in you, and working through you. And that's why sometimes prayer sounds different. Not because the person is so special, but they are convinced. Because let me tell you something. Conviction can be fake. Because it's not weighed by the physical. It's weighed in the spirit. Now, if you want to know how your conviction can grow, let me tell you really quickly. Your conviction can grow when you have right theology. You're not just reading words when you read the scriptures. You're actually engaging that living truth. You got to have right theology. This is how your conviction is going to grow. If you want your conviction to grow, you got to honor the word with time. You got to stop just scrolling through scripture like it's content. And you got to honor the word with time. When God tells you to do something, you need to be on it, doing it, not waiting, not procrastinating, not in, not out, not always procrastinating. You know, you always, oh, well, I do it this one time and then I don't do it. There got to be a consistency. You got to honor the word with time. You got to study with tools. Google is not a tool for you to study with unless you are reading actual. I'm trying to think of the word that there's a word I'm thinking about. I can't think of it right now. But you, when you're studying, you study with tools like translations, like you study keywords. You ask yourself questions. What does the text mean? You know, what the text actually meant when you read it. So therefore, you got to have knowledge of history. So you got to go beyond just reading the scripture. You've got to study the scripture. We depend on a lot of commentary, which there's nothing wrong with commentary, but we need to go beyond what another man said. Study. Get that history. Get that background. Get that context. Study with tools. I was thinking of scholarly articles. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Scholarly, not a blog post. If you want your conviction to grow, do the word. Obedience turns that ink that you read into your experience. Do the word. Do it. Walk it out. If you want your conviction to grow, ask God for impossible things. Not to prove it to yourself, to see the God that you serve be God. Because each fulfilled promise builds stronger conviction. That's why we've been declaring notable testimonies. When is the last time you asked God for the impossible thing? So he can prove himself in your life. Not just say it. You want your conviction to grow. 1 John 1:1 describes truth that is heard, seen, and handled. So conviction becomes embodied when the invisible becomes tangible, and it becomes tangible through your lived obedience. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you this morning with reverence, with clarity, with exclusivity. We acknowledge that you alone are holy. We acknowledge that you are near. We acknowledge that you are not distant from us. You are not indifferent to us. You are Emmanuel, the God that is with us, that God, hallelujah, that is in us, the God that is working through us. Father, we repent right now for reducing prayer to just a thing we do, to a task. We repent for approaching prayer with impatience. We repent for approaching prayer commonly. We repent for treating communion like a transaction. We repent on this morning for living on spiritual leftovers while expecting all of these spiritual outcomes. We cleanse our motives on this morning through, hallelujah, the person of Jesus Christ. We cleanse our motives through the word of God. We're praying this morning that you will purify our desires, that you will restore honor to our secret place. Awaken the river within us, God. As we're praying this morning, awaken the supply, awaken the river. Let the places in us that have been dry, may they receive your living water. Let every believer who has been praying from a place of duty, may they be reintroduced to desire again. I want your desire. Come on, pull on desire this morning as you're praying. Pull on the desire of God. I don't want to just do this out of obligation. I don't want to just meet God out of duty. I don't want to get up and grumbling and complaining because I got to get to the place where I bow my knees. When I get there, I want to pray out of desire. Oh, Malabalekiako Male, I want you, God. And Mikiel, Namania, no Rebale, Lena Male. Let us, as your people, God, I'm praying today for someone that has been praying from a place of exhaustion. May they be reintroduced to your strength today. Anybody that's been praying from confusion, God, may they be reintroduced to your clarity today. Father, we're praying, God. We're asking for grace to stay. We're asking for the grace to wait. We're asking for the grace to remain in your presence beyond that first layer of emotion. God, beyond the first wave of distraction. God, beyond the first 15 minutes of restlessness. Teach our bodies to submit. Hey, teach our minds to quiet down. Hey, teach our bodies to know, hey, we're going into the place. We're going into the place where holiness dwells. Teach our spirits to rise up. In the name of Jesus, we come against distraction that steals our time. We come against spiritual sluggishness that makes prayer feel impossible. We come against condemnation that whispers, you are not consistent, so don't even try. We reject those voices, and we submit to your mercy. We step into discipline with hope, God. Father, make us the gatekeepers. Oh, God, hallelujah, that you have called us to be ones with understanding. Make us the watchmen, oh, God, with clean hands. God, teach us what doors to shut. Teach us what doors to open. Teach us what voices to ignore. Teach us what assignments to embrace. Teach us how to stay in the earth while engaging heaven, oh God, and engaging it with accuracy, Father, according to your word. Teach us to pray in the spirit. Teach us to pray with understanding. We ask, God, for you to strengthen our inner man this morning. We ask for a prayer language, oh God, Lord God, with power. We ask for interpretation, Lord God, whenever you choose to give it. We ask for wisdom, oh God, to steward the mysteries of God. God, let our praying in the spirit build us. Let it sharpen our discernment. Let it strengthen our endurance. Let it deepen our love for you. Let it purify our speech. We confess that death and life are in the power of our tongue. So we bring our mouths to you today. We bring our mouths under your government. We repent for the careless speech. We repent for the agreements with fear. We repent for the repeating what hell says and then blaming life when life responds. Set our watch over our lips. Put a weight in our words when we speak. Let our speech carry conviction, oh God. Let our declarations carry alignment, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you on today for opening us up to your mind when it comes to prayer. Thank you for these moments together as we engage the Spirit of God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And we thank you. Amen. Today was necessary to go over 20 minutes. God is training our hands to war. He's training our fingers to do battle. He's teaching us how to endure without becoming bitter. He's teaching us how to fight. He's teaching us not to be familiar. Some of you, I know you've fallen asleep on the line because you don't even get out of bed. You lay in bed and you just listen, and you're not truly engaging with God. Do you know that you, right now, as a mortal on earth, that God is watching you? Me, he sees, he knows your heart, where your mind is, where you are in the spirit. He can locate you at any moment. Pray like you're praying to a real God. Pray like you are really reverencing that real God, honoring him. Not just with your lips, but with your whole being. We'll finish this at noon. I'm opening the line this morning. Anyone, if you want to come, God wants a response from us this morning. What is your response today? The line is open.
Amen. Grace and peace, Apostle. I just want to say that this definitely was well-needed teaching. Yes, last night I went to the grocery store, and I'm in the line, and the young lady that is taking my, you know, cashing me out, if you will, she's illuminating to me in spirit. And before I leave, I said to her, I said, "How can I pray for you?" And she said, "Oh my God, you can pray for me right now if you want." And I grabbed her hand, and I prayed for her. She said, "I have so much going on." And after I finished praying, she said, "Please come back and see me." And I wanted to share that because on the way to Encounter Mornings on Sunday, I was listening to a teaching, and the man of God that was teaching the difference between entering into the kingdom of heaven and inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And what he said was, you know, entering into the kingdom of heaven is, you know, is our result of getting saved. But inheriting the kingdom of heaven is a reward, which means it's a result of obedience. And when one of the ways we know we inherit the kingdom of heaven is when our discernment accurately has heightened. And I strongly believe, if it has not for any of us, it should, that from these gatherings, because we are praying so intentionally every week, every day, we should be so sensitive in prayer that we're able to discern even people that we don't know when they need prayer, and we should obey. But as we've been taught this morning, you know, if our minds are not focused on God and his will, and I'm paraphrasing, his will, then our spirit won't pray. If we're just doing this out of obligation and we're not obeying because it is the will of the Lord and because we want to be able to be as open as possible for Holy Spirit to speak and to move, we'll never get to where we're supposed to be. And so I thank God for this teaching, for this charge. It is very humbling, and it has even aligned me once again to make sure that I make prayer a priority. Make it a priority. Is it an obligation for the believer? Yes, but it should be something that I want to do because it is a part of how I communicate with the God that I say I serve. And so, again, I thank you, Apostle, for what you've given this morning.
Amen. Thank you for sharing on this morning. Will there be another? Do you have a response for God on this morning? It's not, even though it does your testimonies and even your speech, it does absolutely empower people. But it's what is your response to the heaven, what heaven has released to you? The line is now open for you to come.
Good morning. As we were speaking this morning, I heard these words, and these are they. And we are the people that will continue to treat prayer like it's a place of posture and walk in obedience. And they represents the remnant of people who are aligned with God, who will enforce the will of God in this earth. And so I just want to say these words aloud over everyone today, and these are they.
Amen. Hallelujah. We definitely are they. Glory be to God, the remnant of God. Thank you for sharing on this morning, and thank you for releasing that over us this morning. Amen. Anyone else, please feel free to come.
Apostle and everybody, while you were teaching and as we were just praying through, I could see in the realm of the spirit that some of us were being shaped and reshaped and sharpened. And I could actually hear shaped and sharpened, shaped and sharpened. And I believe that even throughout this time, this intensive of prayer, this time of prayer, where we come together and we pray unified, and also the time that we are praying, by ourselves with God intimately, that it is shaping, is redefining the way that some of us looked at prayer as looked at prayer as something just to do, and look at it more as a place of communing with God. It's a place, it's a sacred place where I can commune with God, where God wants to be with me and I want to be with him. And then there, for others, it's a sharpening, where if in that area of prayer you may have become dull, your discernment has not been that sharp or that keen, that in working in your prayer life, that there is a shaping and a sharpening. And literally when you were teaching and started praying, I could literally see shaping, like form shaping on people, and sharpening coming to others. Some are being shaped and some are being sharpened in prayer in this season.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the shaping and thank God for the sharpening. Glory be to God. Thank you, Prophet, for releasing that on this morning. Will there be another? Please feel free to come forth at this time. The line is open for everyone, so feel free to come. What is your response to God on this morning?
Good morning. This is Piatti Renita. I want to start with thanking you, thanking God for this teaching this morning, which is has been very impactful for me in so many ways, just enhancing my understanding of prayer, my approach to prayer, and even just as a believer. I was watching this YouTube video last night of somebody being interviewed, and she said, God is not an idol that we worship from a distance. And for some reason, I never considered the possibility that that we could approach God as an idol. And it made me kind of rethink how that could happen. And then in contrast, the way that we're supposed to approach him. And so coming from that late last night into this conversation about prayer has been very timely in just being reminded of how it's not a necessary evil, it's not an obligatory responsibility, but it is a privilege and an opportunity, and it is it's a place, like you said, where we are formed into another man. And so I'm just grateful for this teaching, and I will definitely be chewing on it for a while. Because it's necessary and very impactful.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you for sharing on this morning. Anyone else before we close?
This is Bobby. I just wanted to say thank you for everything, and especially the prayer line. It has been helping me a lot. And also, yesterday I received an email pretty much advising that I've been approved to take my CNA test. So I just really wanted to thank you guys, and I appreciate everything.
Amen, Diamond. Glory be to God. So excited for you, baby. And I see your life just, I hope you see it too. The progression of God is upon you, and God is unfolding who he is to you, but he's also unfolding who you are to him and who you are to the earth. You're not just a person that's just living out a life experience, an ordinary life experience. You are living out a God experience in real time every single day. So I pray that you see yourself as God's woman, God's daughter, and you're living in your purpose. Glory be to God. So we just thank God for you on this morning. I think this is the first time that you come and you've spoken on the line, and I think that's progress in and of itself. So thank you for sharing on this morning. I love you. Anyone else on this morning, please feel free to come forth.
Good morning. Grace and peace. This is Denitra. I just wanted to say that this teaching was timely. God knew what needed to be addressed, and he addressed it in a way of his love, in a way of a charge, in a way of not getting weary, because there was moments of me getting weary, but I thank God for realignment, because, you know, he knows the purpose, he knows what we need, because we are children, we are his children. And I just want to thank God, and I want to thank you for your obedience on this teaching. More grace.
More grace, more grace, more grace. Thank you for sharing on this morning. Will there be another? Amen. Well, we hope to hear you back here at noon. I thank Apostle Fast for stepping in and praying for me on yesterday. You know, noon is, you know, for many of us, not all, but many of us, noon is a very busy time at our jobs. Amen. And sometimes I'm called into meetings right at 12. and sometimes I get caught speaking to a client. So I thank God for a team that has each other's back. Amen. We are an apostolic team. We are covenant. Amen. And so when one is unable, the other one steps in. And thank God for teams. Amen. Thank God for teams. This is not an individual work. This is a body work, and every joint supplies. I thank God for the team that he's placed here at Scent Miami. I thank God for each and every one of you that is a part of the body of Christ, and we hope to hear you back here at noon. Share the line with someone. Tell someone today, hey, if you weren't on the line today, you did miss it. Amen. So go back and listen to the replay. We love you, and more grace.